Amen. You know, pastor always say, dim the light, but you can brighten mine up. No? The church say amen. The church say amen again. We give honor to God tonight, to the pastor in his absence, to all the saints of God. Be a blessing once more just to be before God's people. Tonight's message we'll be coming from the book of James, the book that we have been reading all month. So we should be very familiar with the scripture. James, the 5th chapter, 13 to the 18th verse. And we find here that Brother James, one of the apostles, is asking us three questions. Three questions, which is also going to give us the answer to. Give me a second here, I'm going to find it. He said, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Three questions. Is any among you afflicted? Is any merry? Is any sick? Amen. And we find here in the day of affliction, neither is it more seasonable than prayer to pray during this time. See, we must call upon the name of the Lord. He's letting us know that the affliction, which is also suffering, which as a child of God, we're going to suffer. But he's letting us know that, listen, we must call on the name of the Lord in these times of afflictions. See, afflictions should be praying times. And fasting will bring about change. See, afflictions are times when we really need to pray. If affliction doesn't cause you to pray, we have a problem. See, afflictions are suffering. It causes you to pray and cry out to God for deliverance. See, and he wants us to do that. That's the reason why he doesn't just take away everything. There are things that bothers us in life that we be asking God to remove it or take it away, and he doesn't do it. Because you find that a lot of times we tend to seek God and pray more when there's afflictions in our lives. So we need to call on him. Afflictions naturally draw out complaints. Like our brother Job. It draws out complaint. Because when you're afflicted, you begin to complaining to God. Why is this happening to me? Why is that happening to me? You find, according to Job, a righteous man, the Bible said, he was, he is, or was. The first two chapters, Job was doing great. He lost everything. He lost his house. He lost his family. He lost his animal. Amen. He lost everything. He was afflicted, amen, with sores upon his body. They said even the dog had to lick his sword just so he could get comforted. Amen. Chapter 1 and chapter 2. But Job was doing great. Job says, the Lord give and the Lord take away. Lord is good to go. Lord bless his Lord. Amen. But you know, like a lot of other folks, when suffering lingers on too long, amen, we start to complain. So the third chapter on, Job started to complain now. He started to wish the day was born. Amen. He says, why my mother womb even delivered me? Amen. He started to say all kinds of stuff. He didn't curse God. Amen. But he complained about every kind of everything there is. Amen. And Job didn't get delivered till for the second chapter. Amen. Not only that, he didn't get delivered until he prayed, learned how to pray for his friends. You see, the afflictions when it comes upon us, that's the time to really get on our bending knees and seek the Lord like never before. Suffering brings about a time of affliction. Amen. But there's one part of all this praying that we're forgetting about. Now, if you will turn with me to the book of Jonah. Jonah, the third chapter. And the fifth verse. Everybody know about Jonah. Jonah, who God gave him a calling to preach in the city of Nineveh. Amen. He decided to go the other direction. Amen. And God got a hold of him. Amen. And you know, he says a great fish swallowed him up. Amen. Some say a whale, but whatever. God says a great fish, no matter what it is. The bottom line is swallowed him up. He stayed in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights. And then he was delivered. And Job had no choice, amen, but to go and preach to the city of Nineveh. Now, watch this now. It says in the fifth verse, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh that he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed, published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. This is the decree of the king. Amen. Amen. He said, listen, nothing is going to eat or drink. I'm proclaiming a fast. Can you imagine if this whole country just says, we're going to proclaim it a fast because of this virus going on. Amen. I believe God would clear it up in no time. But this king, he knew what to do. And it says that, and when he said nothing's going to eat. Nothing's going to drink. And it says, but let man and beast be covered, sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger? We perish not. And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil ways. And God repented evil, and he had said that he would do unto them. He would do unto them. He did not do it. Amen. What I want to ponder is that pointing out is that even you're praying, amen, you have to turn from the evil ways. It's not just about praying. You have to turn from the evil ways. You have to make a change. This pandemic is causing the whole world to probably pray, but they're still doing the same old stuff. Nobody is changing. Nobody is turning around. Nobody is repenting, man, of their evil ways. And so God is saying, no matter how you're praying, you have to turn from your evil ways. He set this example in the book to show us. Look at the king. The king proclaimed a fast. He said, nobody shall eat. Nobody shall drink. And he said, when they all turned from their wicked ways, he said, then God came in, amen. He said, God repented. God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he didn't do it. Amen. We often hear the scripture code that says that if my people were called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. And what it says, and turn from their wicked way. And turn from their wicked way. So then we'll hear from heaven. We'll be forgetting about the turn part. You can't continue life the same old raggedy way. You have to change, amen. You have to make a turn. I can recall, here goes my stories. Amen. When my wife used to do something that would irritate me. And as soon as it happens, I would flare up. I would like, amen. And I was praying concerning the situation every day, but nothing would change. And then one day, it's like the Spirit said to me, maybe if you shut up, something gonna change. And glory be to God, I says, okay, you know what? I'm just not gonna say nothing else no more. And you know what? There was peace in the home. Because I decided that, you know, yes, you might have been doing something I don't like, but I didn't help the situation by flaring up. That ought to make it worse. I didn't know who some of these wives are. You know what I'm saying? You make them upset, make the situation worse. Then they won't talk to you for about 2 or 3 days. But the fact that I toned down, the Bible says, soft answer turneth away wrath. I toned it down, amen. It brought about peace, and the situation got settled. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. I had to make a change. Same in all of our marriages. Sometimes we just got to make a change. We got to turn from something that we're doing that probably causes the other spouse irritated. You know, man, calm down or don't say nothing or, you know, whatever. Amen. And it give God a chance to move in the relationship. Amen. And that's what happened. You see, with the king and Jonah, he made a decision. So everybody going to fast and pray. And we're going to turn from our wicked ways. And God came in, amen, and didn't do evil upon them. It is necessary to exercise faith and hope under affliction. See, that's the time to exercise faith and hope when under affliction. And prayer itself must be fervent. In other words, not just the ordinary prayer. Amen. The fervent prayer. I can't imagine when this king and all them folks begin to pray. I'm sure it wasn't just because it says they went in sackcloth and ashes, which means they knelt down and they took all these ashes, you know, they put sackcloth over themselves and just pouring up ashes upon them. And I can't imagine they probably was just, you know, Lord, Lord, we need you. We need you right now. See, just like when I'm home and I really need God to do something. See, my prayer ain't just like, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. It's Lord Jesus, I need you right now. Come on in, Lord, make a way. Lord, move, boy. And I got to all them singing tone. Yes, Lord Jesus, stop by right now. I need a touch from you, Lord. Open doors, God, make a way. Amen. But tell you, oh, God, I can feel the anointing. And the anointing just come right in. You got to lay down fervent, mean earnestly prayer, like it's the last day upon the earth. Amen. That means Jesus is going to come by the time you finish praying. Amen. Earnest prayer. The Lord is not deaf. We know all that. Amen. But when it shows the earnestly, man, it does something for your spirit. It does something. Amen. If you're going to complain, we got to do the complaining to God. Do the crying out to God. Amen. Let's exercise this stuff, you know, in faith and hope, amen, under this affliction. See, the COVID-19 affliction, like I said, is making everybody pray. The whole world is praying. But if we're not making no change or no difference, it's not going to do a thing. The last time I checked, it's saying the infections is still rising. It keep on going. So somebody, we must be really praying. Or else it should have stopped and be diminishing. Amen. So we got to really get on one accord and pray. Jesus said my house will be called a house of prayer. Another scripture says we must pray without ceasing. Amen. Another scripture says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. The righteous man availeth much. And you know the story, amen, about Elijah, where the Bible says he prayed. Amen. And rain stopped upon the earth for 3 years. And the Bible said he prayed again, and rain came again after the 3 years. So So that man must be really was in tune with the Lord. Amen. We got to keep on going. Don't give up. Keep on going. Keep praying it. Keep praying it. Keep praying it. Be like the unjust judge. Amen. The parable of the unjust judge and the woman, where she kept going, amen, to that judge because she needed a problem solved. Amen. And the judge says, he says, I don't serve God. And I don't care about, I ain't scared of no man. But this woman, I'm going to see about her situation. These are continually coming, going to wear me down. Amen. You can't wear God down, but keep going to him. Keep going to him. Amen. Keep crying out. He'll answer after a while. Amen. The next thing James says, is Anna Mary, let him sing psalms. Ephesians 5 says, to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Amen. Sing some psalms. You know, those psalms, a lot of them is actually songs. I said, if you're married, sing the songs. It doesn't have to do nothing with how you sound or how your voice is. A bunch of us can't sing. Amen. I rest we be up here singing. Amen. But we know we can't sing, but you sing your way to the Lord. It's not about how you sound. It's what's coming from your heart. Amen. So if you're married, sing your songs. Amen. Most of us sing in the bathroom. That's what we do our best singing. Amen. Well, I ain't got to sing in the bathroom that much no more because I got Alexis now. I just say, Alexa, sing me a song. Or Alexa, you know, play Shirley Caesar. You know, you play the song. Amen. Amen. But beside that, amen, I have a hymn book. I take that hymn book, boy. When they see me take that hymn book out, they're like, oh, Lord, here he go again. Amen. And I go down to my basement and I sing these songs, because I'm merry. Amen. When you're merry, you sing songs. Sing songs of Zion to God. Amen. It's nothing like when you sing to the Lord, amen, you know, and you really feel those songs in your spirit. Amen. How the Lord can come in and just bless you. Amen. He's not hearing how you sound. He's hearing your heart. That's what he's hearing. Is here in your heart. Yes, the yes, Bible says, amen, we must make a joyful noise. I understand it's noise. People around you, it's noise. But to you, amen, is songs of Zion. Amen. And to the Lord is sweet-smelling Savior. Amen. Because he's just sniffing it. Yes, I hear those praises. Yes, I hear those songs of Zion. Yes, keep on singing them because God loves to hear them. Amen. Sing your song. Amen. Don't care who here. Don't go by how you sound. Amen. Just sing your song of praise. Because this is holy and consecrated singing to God. When it's holy and consecrated singing to God, it doesn't matter how you sound. Amen. Let them laugh at you. Amen. But God is rejoicing and blessing you because or the singing of the song that's coming from your heart. Sing your song. Sing your psalms. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Of course, that sounds terrible. But to God, amen. It's blessing and praises, amen. Amen. Don't be afraid. If you're merry, he's letting us know. Sing songs. Be happy. Be thankful. Amen. The Bible said when David, amen, was want to encourage himself, he said he danced all night till he danced out of his clothes. Amen. Sing your song and do your dance. Amen. It don't have to be nothing fancy. Whatever you do is all right. You're doing it before the Lord. Amen. Be happy. Amen. Don't get sad all the time. You're merry. Sing some joyous song. Be happy. What is it now? He says now, because again, it's not how you sound, as long as it's coming from the heart. Number three, he says, third thing he says, is any sick among you now? He says, you must what? Call for the elders of the church. And they'll pray over you. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, I know we kind of like, you know, drift away from that kind of stuff. We're more modernized now. So when we call, amen, we call the church office, and the church will pass it on to the prayer warriors. Amen. Amen. Which will pray. Amen. And they're not going to wait to come to church to pray. They can pray. I know when I get the message, I pray right away. I don't wait because I know the prayer is needful. Amen. Especially now, amen, you can't really go to nobody's house. You can't really go to the hospital. Amen. Because of what's going on. Amen. So he said, let's call for them. And says, and when they pray, if you have any sin, which means it has to be some kind of earnestly prayer, amen, it will be forgiving. But we can't get away from praying for the sick. So if you find yourself sick, call the brother that you know how to pray. Call a sister that know how to pray. Call the church office. But don't try to go it alone by yourself. Call somebody. Amen. So we can pray for you. Because oftentimes when you it's hard for you to even pray. I know I was sick before. It was hard for me to even pray. All the brother could say is probably just Jesus. Jesus. But if you got other folks that are praying for you, amen, it is even much better. Amen. I don't say, but send for the elders of the church. Send for them. I know the pastor can't come right now, but I know he would if he could. And I know it works. But it says, call for the elders of the church. They pray for you, and if you are sick, it shall be recovered. I know it works. And how I know it works? Because I can recall when I was in Texas, my wife and I we were started a ministry, and this sister was in Fort Worth, Texas, and a sister from Austin, Texas, which is about an hour away, called and says, "Hey, this lady's in the hospital. Can you come please pray for her?" So I got up for work that evening. I said, "Wife, we got to go pray for this woman that's in the hospital." I got there. I mean, it was a real old lady. I think she was about 90 years old. Looked real weak and feeble, like she was on her last limb. And I said to myself, she ain't going to make it. Looked like she's not going to make it. And then all of a sudden, it's like I heard a spirit say to me, says, "Ask her what she want." And I'm like, I says, "Okay." I says, "Ma'am, what do you want the Lord to do for you?" She said, "I just want to get well and go back home." I says, "Okay." And we laid hand on her and we prayed. I didn't think nothing else after that. I went back home. About 2 weeks later, I ran in the sister and I says, "Hey, to that lady that we pray for in the hospital." She says, "You wouldn't believe it, but the next day she was alive and well, and they sent her home." Amen. I'm telling you, when the Bible said to call somebody, call for the elders. If you believe and trust in that word, you believe it. You know, you even said a word. It says, "Lord, I'm calling because your word said to call." Amen. "And they shall pray over me, anointing me at all, and I shall be whole." Amen. I almost fell out. I shocked myself. Because like I said, she don't look like she was the last limb. But God heard her prayers. Because he asked her, "What do you want?" He said, Jesus always be asking folks, "What can I do for you?" Remember the blind man? If I'm blind, you ask me, obviously, I want to see. But Jesus pretty much say that just because you're blind don't mean that's what you want. And so I go ask a lot of folks that sick that don't really want no healing, because if the healing come, you may not be able to collect from the government. I'm going to leave it alone. See? So even though you're asking for healing, you really don't want the healing, because if the healing come, see, it's going to bring about a change. See, hard to see what the king did. So Jesus is going to ask you, what do you need? We must call. Call for somebody. Call a brother. Call a sister. Amen. It says, if it is sick amongst you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And it says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. They shall be forgiven. Folks, we got to go back to the word. We got to stick to the word. Amen. No matter who believe it or not, you pick it up. And you say, this is what the word says, Lord. Amen. And so Brother James is trying to encourage us tonight. He's trying to encourage us tonight. And he asks a question. Any among afflicted, let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing some songs. Is there any sick? Man, call for somebody. Call for the elders. Call a brother or sister. Call somebody. Let them help you pray. Let them pray over you. Amen. And God is good. Thank you, Lord. Amen. For just listening tonight. Amen. But I'd be remiss if I didn't ask that for those of you that are listening by way of Facebook, that if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, I'm inviting you to accept him as the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Confess your sins. Commit your ways to him. He's always there. He has his arm open. He's calling on you. Amen. Answer his call. Amen. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless. Yes. Give the Lord a hand praise. Give the Lord a hand praise. Amen. Praise him.